It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. An artist based in Viroqua recently received an award for artists dedicated to cultural preservation and passing on their knowledge to future generations.
Martha Bush was granted a Midwest Culture Bears Award for her work in preserving and teaching traditional arts. That includes things like making baskets, moccasins, and copper bowls made with stone tools.
Bush is of Potawatomi descent, but was raised outside a reservation and away from other Potawatomi people. She says she and her siblings have spent decades rediscovering the language, traditions, and crafts of her ancestors. Now she teaches those skills at folk schools and libraries around the Midwest. Martha, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Now, I've seen elsewhere you've said that you kind of grew up outside of Potawatomi culture and you took a longer path to discover it and start rediscovering it. Can you share some of that story with us?
Well, from when I was a little child, my mother would mention about our Indigenous heritage, but very little of the tradition came down. In my young adulthood, I decided that it was time to learn more. And at the time, I was living in Europe, working with the U.S. military in Germany. And there was an intertribal society that regularly met. And I attended a meeting and just started asking questions. When I moved back to the United States, I attended some regional powwows, and I went to some specifically Potawatomi powwows. And one of my sisters is very interested in this as well. And so together we would often go to some traditional arts gatherings up around the Great Lakes areas and just deepened my knowledge and understanding, and also started to work on learning the language and just making more connections, attending gatherings when I can, and that kind of thing. Just deepening my understanding and awareness of my heritage.
Now, with the arts and artisanship in particular, how did you seek to learn all these things? And we'll talk about these, everything, basket weaving, moccasin and clothes making, copper. How did you seek out that training?
I am an artist and really always have been. So since a very young age, I've been working with lots of different materials and have always been drawn to natural materials. You know, I dabble in many, 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 many media as an artist. And those indigenous media sort of opened up to me. So I love making baskets and have just worked with many different types. And having gone to school, I went to Lawrence University, woohoo, Wisconsin school. And I, I studied to be a studio artist. And in that process, was able to work with sculpture and jewelry and other metalwork. And then learning about making copper bowls with stone tools at one of the gatherings really inspired me. And I have gone on to teach that many, many times, and people seem to really connect with that process and really enjoy learning something so fundamental, but that has this deep historical wisdom associated with it.
I am particularly excited to talk to you about the copper. It's a locally sourced ingredient from the shores of Lake Superior. I know it can be. And as you mentioned, it's a tradition. People have been doing this for literally thousands of years here in what is now Wisconsin. Can you talk more about what you're doing with this copper and these methods?
I teach people through Driftless Folk School, and I also occasionally teach up at Ely Folk School in Minnesota, how to make hammered copper bowls with stone tools. So we have the benefit of receiving recycled copper through 21st century processes of hot rolling, but Indigenous peoples of the past were very blessed to have almost pure copper nuggets from the Lake Superior copper deposits just lying on the ground or easily mined. And they could pick up these especially heavy, beautiful stones and began hammering them and exploring what copper could do. In my classes, because we're working with discs of 6-inch copper, and I use 20 gauge copper, but we use traditional hammer stones from the surf of Lake Superior. They're basalt stones that, as in so many ways, the creator will give us what we need with what plagues us side by side. For example, you know, you can find the jewel weed right next to the nettles. And you can treat your itchy nettles with the jewel weed. And the same is true for copper and basalt, that the copper often is running in veins through basalt. But basalt is a very, very hard volcanic stone. And the hammer stones that I have hammered dozens, maybe even hundreds of bowls by now. But there's never been a chip or a crack because they're so hard. And so we use those as hammers. Your elbow to your wrist sort of becomes the shaft of the hammer, and the stone in your hand is like the head of the hammer. And we go through the process of sinking these discs into copper bowls.
We're talking about traditional arts practiced by Martha Bush, an artist based in Viroqua, recent recipient of a Midwest Culture Bearers Award. Martha, you mentioned your teaching, and this has become, I understand, very important to you. What made you want to take the step from learning to do these things and making art yourself to passing this on to other people?
Boy, that's a tough one. I think I am just a natural teacher. I've worked with young children for quite a long time, and I've gone on to really teach every age group. And I just enjoy helping people connect with their creativity. And I find real joy in seeing how people's character and their personalities will come through in the work that they do. And that's very true in working with hammered copper bowls. People will use great force and make a very deep bowl because they have a forceful personality. And people who are more relaxed or a little more timid will make a more shallow bowl with less impact. So it's just fascinating to me to be able to connect with people and to kind of midwife an art piece through them by helping them to find their own inner creativity and their ability to express that innate divinity that we all possess.
You mentioned starting by teaching to younger people, to kids. Are you hoping to provide an opportunity, a connection with these arts that you didn't necessarily have?
Certainly. I really think that in this century, we are becoming much more open to diversity and understanding the varieties of cultures all around us. And this gives people an opportunity to learn a little bit more about Potawatomi tradition, but also the diversity of what's out there. And of course, through the folk school, there's all kinds of traditional crafts that are taught. And I mean, this isn't the only class that I teach, but it's one of my favorites and one of the most popular. I tend to have waiting lists on all of my classes because they are, you know, people are so excited to learn this unique approach. And it's not every day you get to make something with a rock.
I imagine you have some students who would be kind of like me, not people who don't always craft things and make things on their own. What is it like for that person when, you know, they go through this experience and they have this bowl or other thing that they've made with their own hands? What kind of reaction do you get?
You know, people are universally delighted to be able to have this experience. It's a very elemental sensory experience. And I think we all benefit from connecting more deeply to the natural world and to our own senses. So even people who don't have a lot of familiarity with working with their hands to make things are able to achieve some level of a bowl. Some are closer to a plate and some are quite deep and impressive. But everyone has, as I always say to my students, I haven't lost one yet. You know, everybody is able to do this and be successful.
Well, I haven't taken the class yet. I might surprise you.
Oh, I challenge you. Come and take the class and we'll make a bowl together. Don't worry.
Now, we've focused a lot on copper bowls, and that's my fault. I'm super interested in them. That's not the only thing you're working on. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other things that you've learned and are teaching now?
I just last week finished working with a fourth grade class. The Wisconsin school curriculum really allows children to learn a little bit more about Wisconsin traditions and culture, and indigenous peoples are part of that. And so we made corn husk dolls in that class. And it was really a lot of fun working with those children. And then they tried to turn their personal corn husk doll into themselves. So that was a lot of fun. Last year, I did some beading we made little beaded bracelets with a fourth grade class. And then sometimes I also work with high school students. I did a workshop a few years ago talking about the loss of language and then the reacquisition of indigenous languages, you know, kind of going through the history of the boarding schools in this country and this continent, really, and then talking about this resurgence of indigenous peoples working to reacquire their language and culture that was, you know, a broken link in many families through the boarding school system.
I think a lot of us grown-ups leave our crafting and creativity behind when we leave school. What would you say to encourage adults to check out maybe a folk school or other place where they could learn these kind of things?
You know what? This is a great time, Rob, to give a little plug to the libraries around the region. Right now, there's the Driftless Regional Read taking place at the, I believe it's the Seven Rivers Region Libraries. And I am teaching four different classes. Not all of them are based in Indigenous culture, but one of them is a embossing copper workshop. I'm doing one in Holman, one in Mauston. I'm doing mosaic work. In Holman, I'm doing felting. In La Crosse, I am doing the copper embossing. And there is a workshop in Winona that we are going to make watercolor leaves to reflect autumn. And so those are ways that people can dabble in some creativity so that they can connect back to their creative selves. But folk schools are a terrific way to go back to school without the traditional tests in school and all of those things. And there are so many fascinating and diverse options. It could be about cooking, or it could be about soap making, or it could be about hammered copper bowls or basket making or chip carving or any number of really wonderful traditional crafts, not only from Indigenous culture, but from many cultures. So I would highly encourage people to check out the folk schools in the region. My personal favorite being Driftless Folk School, which is centered here in the Driftless region, obviously in Viroqua area. But folk schools all around the region are a wonderful place to go and check out some interesting craft or activity that you've always been wanting to learn or just found today and think sounds really interesting.
And Martha, before I let you go, sometimes if people hear Native American art, they might think of an old thing that they see in a museum. Clearly, from what you're doing, Native American art is happening in 2024. How important is it to you to highlight that these are living, breathing traditions?
We are very much living and breathing and creating to this day. While there has been a lot of effort over the course of history to remove Indigenous people from the land, we are still here. And there is much to take in and understand and learn about Indigenous culture and Indigenous art. There are a lot of wonderful artists out there. So, you know, be looking, be remembering. Maybe some of your neighbors are of Indigenous heritage and you don't even know it. So go out there and be looking and noticing and appreciating.
Martha, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really pleased to be able to get a chance to talk to you.
Martha Bush is an artist based in Viroqua. She is a recent recipient of an award for artists around the Midwest whose work is aimed at preserving cultural traditions and sharing knowledge for future generations. Head over to WPR.org. A couple cool pictures of copper pad creation in the works. Northern Lights put on a dazzling display for a lot of people in Wisconsin last week. In recent days, we've been collecting your photos of the splashes of color across the night sky. You can find some of those amazing moments from the Aurora Borealis on WPR's Instagram.
Have you always wanted to see the Northern Lights, but you're just never in the right place at the right time? What was that like for you as you looked up? What colors were you able to see, and how did it make you feel?
Send along your photos and videos. Share what it felt like to witness the Northern Lights. Email wisconsintoday at WPR.org. That's wisconsintoday at WPR.org. Or call or text us at 888-642-0232.
And thank you so much for sharing.
Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to WPR News.